Aloha, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is Jim Manske. Welcome to Taste of Compassionate Leadership. Today, where I am, is Saturday, March 26, 2016. I invite you all to join me in taking a moment of self-connection and to just notice how you're feeling right now as this call begins. And to just take a couple of conscious breaths, not asking you to try to change the breathing in any way, but simply to breathe and notice breathing. And as you breathe, simply notice what you can perceive with your five senses. Noticing what you see, noticing what you hear, noticing what you can touch, noticing any lingering tastes, noticing anything that you can smell. And then the invitation to notice how you feel about that. How do you feel right now in your body? Checking in with physical sensations. Noticing what emotions are arising in your experience. Noticing that it's kaleidoscopic, ever-changing, both what you perceive with your senses and what you sense with your body. A constant, ever-changing world of shift. And then check in a little deeper into your experience. Why are you here listening to my voice right now? What's in it for you? What needs are you hoping to meet by being on this call? Perhaps you're here for community or for learning. Maybe to support your own personal growth. Maybe it's about fun or connection. Or maybe none of the words I use describe what your need is. You have your own words. But whatever you find there, just savor the needs that bring you to this moment, right here and right now. And then check in to see if you have some requests about what we do with our time together today. What could you do? What could you ask for that might increase the likelihood of you getting your needs met? And then as we bring this self-connection exercise to a conclusion, just notice how you feel right now. And I'd just like to say a little bit about what brings us all here today. At least the needs that I'm hoping to meet. Just to introduce myself in case we haven't met. Today we're going to be exploring a real practical tool utilizing nonviolent communication to sustain a dialogue, especially a dialogue when it really matters, especially a dialogue that might have some quality or potential for disconnection. And so we're going to explore that in some depth with some practice. We also have some other things that we're going to be doing today. I'm going to be giving you a chance to practice more self-connection, which we have already been practicing. We're also going to have a chance for you to get to know a new friend and to check in with one another. Then we have this little lesson and a practice plan. And at the end of the call, we'll have a chance to find out how it was for you, to get some feedback from you. And the topic that we're going to be covering is about using a particular empathy reflection skill to sustain dialogue. And before we actually dive into that, I want to give you a chance to check in with each other. And I'm going to invite you to check in with each other. I'd like to give you these three questions to explore. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself, and then I'd like to invite you to say what you're aware of in terms of your own feelings and needs when it's your turn to talk. And then to answer the question, why are you on the call today? What needs brought you here, especially about what you're hoping to take away from the call? So your name, your current feelings and needs, and what you're hoping to take away from the call, why you're here. So now it's just me. I have so much power. I got to tell you, it's really uncomfortable for me more and more to notice, to be in this position of privilege and power that I get when I get to run these calls. It's really strange for me because I really want to live in the world of more equality and equivalence. And yet I also see the needs that are met by having this power in this case to create some order and some flow and actually support connection. But I want to be transparent that it's squirmy for me. I feel really squirmy with being able to mute and unmute people's microphones, to be able to inhibit your freedom of speech, at least while you're on this call. And it's really odd for me and becomes odder and odder. I think it's really heightened for me right now because I'm doing the call by myself. And so I don't even have the partnership that I usually have, that I have someone that's making these decisions with me jointly. I ask for your empathy for what it's like to be me, to be in this position of power. And I'd just love to hear from just a few people about how you are right now before we dive into the lesson. And so if you would like to just say hello to the whole group and say a little bit about how you're feeling in the moment, any reactions you have to what's been going on so far on the call. Hi, welcome to the call.
Thank you. I want to say that I'm brand new to NVC. I've learned about it about 2 weeks ago, and I've been reading stuff on the website, and I'm very excited about growing my vocabulary and being able to go above and beyond positive affirmations and positive outlooks, and to be a better listener and to be more empathetic both interpersonally and in the workplace.
Yeah, so for you, this is very new. You're really excited about being on this learning journey. I just really sense a wide openness in you to learning to sharpen your communication skills.
Correct.
Thank you so much for
investing
your time and resources to be on the call today. I hope you get something out of it.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, your microphone is live.
Hi, I'm in Wisconsin, and it was quite a joy to talk with my new friend who is in Tasmania. I think that is so cool. And we find that we have such similar desires for constant learning as we even get into our elderly years and creativity, and especially working with Indigenous people, as we both do. So what a nice surprise to find such a like-minded soul. And glad to hear your voice again, Jim. I looked forward to connecting with you and Jory again.
Thank you. So glad you're on the call. Just really want to reflect that I hear you enjoyed your connection with Tiwa, and I know what that's like because I have enjoyed that connection as well over the years, and just how rich these opportunities to connect on the phone can be for people. So thank you. And I also heard you say you're from Wisconsin. That's as far back as my roots can be traced. Is Wisconsin, which isn't very far, but both my parents were born in La Crosse.
Yeah, and I took NVC to La Crosse in the last couple of years, to the university there, to some of the elementary schools.
Well,
How cool. Thank you
for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
And next, your microphone is live.
Yeah, you and I met in Costa Rica. I've moved back to Vermont and living in a retirement place. Very happy with it, but I missed NVC a lot, and I've been trying to start a little practice group. There are six of us. We're all novice, really. We're kind of floundering around with it, so it's great to hear your voice, and I hope I get a lot out of it tonight.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate hearing that and hearing that for you. You're really looking to grow your skills here, and you want to contribute. You want to contribute in this little practice group, and that contribution is not only to you but to the other people involved in your practice group. And that also it's a little challenging for you because you're all a bunch of novices in your own estimation, and you're needing some support, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Your microphone's live.
I'm late to this call because I got lost in listening to a recording of a practice I did with Mayer Alike. So I'm learning so much about empathy and how to give it, but I lost track of time. And I'm thrilled that I remembered and got back onto this call. That's why I came so late.
Yeah. So for you, you're excited to be here and looking forward to deepening your learning that you're continuing on after a call with Mayer, and now you're eager to keep going and dive in with us today.
Yes.
Thank you. And let's go all the way to Tasmania. Isn't this amazing that now we can hear from Tasmania? How's it going?
Hi, Jim. I'm feeling so much joy. Really happy to be on the call. Just feeling really alive with the connection that I had with Sandra, and just feeling so deeply the ecstasy almost of being able to express all my passion and to have it heard by somebody receptive and who shares some of it. So I'm really glad to be on the call. Thank you so much, Jim. So much appreciation to you for being there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to have you here and really connecting to how much you appreciate that, how precious it is to have the opportunity to connect and to be heard with a new friend, even in the midst of the difficulties of getting onto the call. Thank you. And last one, your microphone is live.
I'm also really celebrating the partnership that I shared with my partner in the check-in. She's new to NVC also, and she's really excited about learning it. But she's studying with a friend, a dear empathy buddy of mine. So it just made me feel so much joy in my heart, and I'm so excited for her to be part of this amazing group. I consider this family more than community, and I'm just so overjoyed to be with you. And I still savor the time that I had the year in CL13. wish it could go on forever, but I'm really excited to be here. And this topic is super important to me, so I want to learn more. Thank you.
Sounds like for you, this is more than just a learning experience. This is really an experience of family, of the depth of connection. And when I hear the word family, I imagine that for you, it's about really having a place of freedom to be yourself and to be accepted and to really belong. Is that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So the invitation right now is to check in again with yourself. Just notice how you are right now. To do this real brief check-in with yourself often. Because it helps to refine what for me is almost the basis, the foundational part of nonviolent communication practice, which is self-connection and refining our commitment to connection. So I'd like to just take a few minutes now and do a little expression about our topic today. The title is Sewing the Quilt of Connection, How to Sustain Dialogue Without Defensiveness. I don't know if you have this experience. I imagine being human that you do, that you can be just cooking along in a dialogue and everything can kind of be going okay. You're having an experience where you're talking with a partner, a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe even a boss, someone in authority or a teacher, something like that. And then suddenly something seems to go off the rails in terms of the conversation. And either you end up feeling some sort of sense of separateness, or you sense the sense of separateness in the other person, and it might escalate into an experience of defensiveness or offensiveness. And the topic today is about how to wind ourselves back to connection, even in the midst of that kind of sudden disconnection. So we're going to cover four aspects to creating this quilt of connection. I'll just name the four first, and then we'll explore them in a little bit of detail, and then there'll be a chance to practice with a real practical aspect of this. And so here's the four parts that we will touch on today. First, refining your commitment to connection. Refining your commitment to connection. Secondly, how to open a dialogue to increase the chances of connecting the way you want. How to open a dialogue to increase the chances of connecting the way you want. Third, how to respond to another person's defensiveness. How to respond to another person's defensiveness. And finally, how to respond to your own defensiveness. How to respond to your own defensiveness. So, first, refining your own commitment to connection. When I first got involved in nonviolent communication, it was about the year 2000. And I got involved with a local practice group in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was a very innovative, I've come to discover in the time after that practice group, it was a very innovative, trend-setting practice group because there was no leader. There was no identified leader. There wasn't a trainer that was running the practice group. It was just a community practice group that was leaderful. And that's actually could be a whole topic that we could talk about on a future call, is how to run a leaderful call. One of the people that was involved was a guy named Mel. I will forever treasure the lesson I learned in one of those early practice groups, because Mel understood something that was critical to the practice of nonviolent communication, the spiritual practice of nonviolent communication. In fact, Marshall called what Mel was what taught us that night, Marshall called it spiritual clarity. Mel called it the zero step. And I still call it the zero step because, you know, sometimes NVC is expressed as a four-step model: observation, feeling, need, and request. One, two, three, Mel said, something happens before we ever open our mouth or open up our ears. What is it that allows nonviolent communication as a spiritual practice to unfold? And he nicknamed it the zero step. Marshall called it the intention of nonviolent communication, and he expressed it in various ways. One way that he expressed it is that the purpose of nonviolent communication is to create a quality of connection that inspires compassionate giving and receiving. So to remember this purpose, to create a quality of connection that inspires compassionate giving and receiving. The key word here is to remember that there's this remembering that's going on. And what helps me with the zero step is to remember that there's actually way more connecting us than disconnecting us in every moment. That what I want to do is to find these points of connection and to not only find them, but to inhabit them fully, to live them with the person that I'm connecting with. So right now, I'm just imagining what it's like to be you, to be on the other end of a call, to not have any idea what's going to be coming next, to actually be living in that uncertainty. And so I'm extending myself into what it's like to be you because I want to connect with you. I want to also remember that we're already connected, that we're breathing the same air, that we share a common humanity that is characterized by a palette of feelings. Every human being that's ever lived or will ever live has the same feelings, the same palette of feelings. And we also share a fundamental connection because we have the same needs. Marshall's genius was identifying universal needs as the point of connection, that in any conflict, if we follow some sort of collaborative process, we can find common ground, common needs, even though we might have very different strategies about how to get those needs met. At the level of our common humanity, we are connected because we have the same needs. And so I remind myself of this as often as I can in order to cultivate this quality of connection that inspires compassionate giving and receiving. So I invite you now to think about what it is that you can do from moment to moment to remember. To remember something specific, to remember that there is something to connect about, that there is this thing called connection, to remember that we have something in common. So take a moment and just find out for yourself, how do you do that? You must do it 10,000 times a day. You refine this intention within yourself. Connect in the service of compassionate giving and receiving. So if you're the kind of person that likes to take notes, this is the thing to take a note about, nothing that I say, but what's in your heart right now? How do you remind yourself of this intention to connect? I'll be quiet for a minute while you reflect and write about that. Does anybody have a question about this first piece, refining your commitment to connection?
Jim, how do you do it when you're triggered? You know, when you're triggered and you know you're triggered, you know intellectually, like sometimes, even as skilled, quote unquote, as I think I am and I know better, I know NBC, I teach NBC, sometimes when I'm triggered, the best I can do is just take a time out. How do you reconnect in those moments?
Thank you. It's a wonderful question. And those of you who are listening, and if you're taking notes about what I'm saying, then you could skip down to how to respond to your own defensiveness. And I'll say a little bit about that now. It's perfect because what you're talking about is such a human experience that we're right in the middle of a conversation and we get triggered. And sometimes the best thing we can do is to take a time out. So I'm curious, when you have that thought, the best thing for me to do is take a time out, where is that thought coming from?
When I can do it, my thought's coming from, this is going to serve life the best right here, because if I continue in this realm or zone, things that are going to come out are not going to be pretty and what I'm wanting, and they're not as going to be as connected to life as I'm wanting. So the best I can do is to take a time out and then get reconnected. Now, I know better to do this, and sometimes I cannot do it, and then it just, this stuff spills out, even though I know better.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating because I know better. I teach this. It's like, what?
So for you, it's really frustrating. For you, it's just so frustrating to know what you know and to have it so deep in your bones and yet to still forget this intention to connect sometimes.
It's not the intention that I forget. It's the ability to be able to really do it in that moment.
Yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you made that distinction, because setting ability aside for the moment, not that there's anything that's not important about ability, my experience and what I invite you all to experiment with for the next month or the rest of your life, or even just for the next hour, that the intention, getting back to the intention, is enough. It's the most important first step to even forget about capability. That it's actually knowing that we know how to do something sometimes locks us up, because we add a thought that I should be able to navigate this better because I should be able to access these skills. That's how I do it in my head. That's what I tell myself. It's something like that. It takes me away from my intention to connect, because everybody can try this right now. Try to have more than one thought at the same time. It doesn't take very long to discover that, at least with the software that I have in my brain, I can only have one thought at a time. So if I'm trying to access how, I can't be accessing why. And so what I mean by that is, if I'm focusing on trying to find the capability to connect, then I can't be focusing on why I want to connect, which is in the service of compassionate giving and receiving. So the invitation for the next hour is to forget about capability and focus purely on the intention to connect. And whenever you forget it, because you get triggered, annoyed, irritated, you check out, fight, flight, freeze, any of that, the first step is just simply to notice that you've checked out, and then to come back to intention, that I want to connect. Or maybe the truth in the moment is I don't want to connect, which is perfectly fine. And then maybe you just leave the call, or you leave the conversation, or you take a time out, or whatever. You trust that just as much. But go to intention before you go to capability. So how do you feel hearing that?
Feels right on. I like it. I like it, even if, because there are times when I'm pissed off that my intention is not to connect at all. My intention is to connect to myself, because I can't think about connecting to that person because I've disconnected from my own self, I guess, in that moment. So it feels right on. Because that is, I do go to that jackal place sometimes of, I should be able to access my skills in this moment because I know better and I know how I value it and my intention to live this, and yet sometimes I just can't. It feels
perfect.
Right on. I like this distinction of intention versus how to get there. I like that.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. One more question on the board here. Is your question still alive?
Yes, it is. I was stimulated a little bit by the last comment, and I actually did something very similar last night. It's kind of a classic disagreement that we sometimes have in my marriage, and my initial inclination is to talk it to death and figure out what happened when and this, that, and the other. And last night, instead, I chose first to disengage and get calm, and then I just sat next to my wife and I didn't say anything. And then I let her know why I was doing that. And she actually appreciated not having to talk about it ad nauseum. So I kind of think that disengaging when I find myself unable to connect in the way that I'd like to me that shows a great commitment to connection, even if I realize that I can't do it right now. I'd rather disengage, give myself a timeout, rather than damage the relationship.
Beautiful. So for you, you notice that sometimes the thing that can lead to the most connection is to actually lower your involvement.
Yeah.
Thank you for illustrating a very key distinction for me, is this distinction between connection, which is at the level of a need and is actually universal, and the distinction between that connection and the strategy of involvement, how I might live out connection, that the most connecting thing might be to take a break, to put myself on timeout, to actually take a 20-minute walk, or take a shower, or listen to music, or 10,000 things that can support getting back to an intention to want to have an involvement with somebody. That's coming out of an intention to connect, believe it or not. But thank you so much for illustrating it so beautifully. Anything else you want to say to feel finished?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. The takeaway for me that I'd like everyone to have from this last piece is the best way to respond to your own defensiveness is first to notice it, to notice that you've become triggered. Step one is notice that you've lost intention. The magic is by noticing you've lost your intention, you're actually beginning to regain your intention. Because the mere act of making an observation, which is what I mean by noticing, you notice you don't have this willingness to connect in the moment, that is a form of connection. It's a first step to get back to a quality of connection that inspires compassionate giving and receiving. So just noticing that you're disconnected is actually the first step always. And the second step of how to respond to your own defensiveness is just to give yourself permission to be there. There's no rule in NVC or anywhere else that says you have to stay involved in order to sustain connection. In fact, the way our human nervous system seems to be designed is sometimes we actually need to move away from involvement in order to settle down back into connection. And it will always begin with self-connection. So first, notice it. Second, give yourself permission to be a human being. You have been born with hardware, and then you've had software installed since the moment that you were born. And the way that our human being works is sometimes we just need time. So give yourself permission. And then from that place, you can choose to get back to connection again. Okay, so now we've done the two bookends. We talked a little bit about refining our commitment to connection and how to respond to our own defensiveness. So let's wind back to the second bullet point here, how to open a dialogue to increase the chances of connecting in the way you like. This little piece is very brief, inspired by some reading I've been doing lately and also by my own experience, reading by a psychologist named John Gottman. Some of you might have heard of John Gottman. He specializes in helping couples. He's been studying relationships and communication within relationships for over 40 years. There's one concept that I learned from him that I think is really, really important for that will naturally come from your commitment to connection. And the phrase that I want you to take away from the call is soft startup. Soft startup. So if you reflect on your own experience, I bet you can remember times when you've opened a conversation with something that was other than a soft startup, maybe a harsh startup. Like some examples I can think of from my own experience would be, you know, it's about time we finally got to talk about this. Or I didn't think we'd ever get a chance to finally connect about this. or you've never been willing to talk about this before and now you're willing to talk about it. So these are all examples of kind of a hard startup, because if we start from that place, we're really likely to influence the other person's nervous system into going into fight or flight. It can be scary or irritating to have something other than a soft startup. A soft startup, on the other hand, it naturally comes from this commitment to connection. So if I really want to connect with somebody, what's likely to come out of my mouth is going to be warm and connecting and open. And if I'm actually with the other person, they're going to sense it in my body language, and they're going to sense it through my eyes, and especially the way my eyes look at them in terms of a smile or an openness. And so you can play around with warmth. In fact, one way to almost guarantee a soft startup is to have a warm drink and drink a warm drink with, this didn't come from Gottman, this is just my own personal experience, and also some research that I read about in positive psychology, that if there's something warm happening, we tend to enter into warmth. So a warm drink, sitting by a fire, sitting in the sunshine, being in a place that we love, making sure some of our other needs are met, we're well rested, we've been well fed, maybe we're sharing dessert together. Something that's very sweet and warm can really help to open up a dialogue that increases the chances of being able to connect in the way you want. So I'll just pause here and see if there's any questions about this piece.
I'm guessing that where the hard starts come from are maybe like some ongoing frustration or anger or something like that. So I'm wondering if that needs to be dealt with first or what.
Thank you for saying that. So for you, you've noticed that sometimes these harsh startups are coming from old pain, or maybe not even old pain, but unaddressed pain. So that's really a great point. Part of cultivating a soft startup is to do whatever inner work you can do through self-empathy or through getting empathy from a friend before having that conversation. For example, if I want to talk about something charged with Jory, if she's the first person I talk to about it, it's not likely to go as well as if I get some empathy from a friend. Or if it's a minor thing, maybe self-empathy is enough. And maybe even if it's a really charged topic, I want to role play the conversation first, maybe more than once. So I'll call a friend. So I'll say, you know, I've got this thing going on. Can I get some empathy? Get that empathy in order to get connected to my own needs, because I can't do the zero step unless I have a sense that my needs matter to me and my needs matter in general. And that happens only in a field of empathy or self-empathy. So thank you so much for showing the interaction between empathy and the zero step. Anything else you want to say about that?
No, I feel pretty complete. Thank you.
So I'll move on to the last piece, which is how to respond to another person's defensiveness. Now we get to the actual that we will be moving into practice with in just a moment. If things are going well in the conversation, you don't need any NVC skills. You're living out your commitment to connection. You don't have to worry about any of your capabilities. If you want to connect, you're likely to do the things that support connection. And what are some of the things that support connection? Well, of course, staying connected to your own feelings and your own needs, speaking your honesty, and listening with empathy. So if you have that intention to connect, those are likely to be going on in you. Self-connection, honest expression, authenticity, ending on a clear and present request, listening with empathy, making reflections, all the things that we consider the skill set of NVC, they naturally occur. And then like Tara pointed out earlier, something happens and either we get triggered or the other person gets triggered. And so if the other person gets triggered, how do we deal with that? How do we respond to another person's defensiveness? And so now we go into the pun that has to do with sewing the quilt of connection. if you saw the little blurb we sent out, it's sewing, S-O-I-N-G. So that's not even a real word. It's a word I made up to try to get your attention and to call us to the power of one of the shortest words in the English language, because it has so much power to connect. And it's the word so. S-O. I've done it about, I don't know, maybe 25 times on the call already to try to model it for you. But if we begin our sentence, when we open our empathy, yes, with the word so, and then we end it with a comma, a couple of magical things happen. It takes about a second to say the word so and have a comma. A comma is a natural pause. And so during the time that I'm saying so, since it's so deep in us, anybody who is a native speaker of English has said the word so, followed by a comma, 10 million times in your life. It doesn't take any effort. You're totally unconsciously competent in using the word so. It takes about a second, and it allows your head to catch up with your heart. Your heart is where this intention to connect is coming from. And sometimes it takes the mind, the cognitive faculty, a little bit of time to catch up to the intention of the heart. And so by using the word so, it slows things down enough for you to process what just happened when the other person said something. For example, I'm talking to a friend, and they say something like, this actually happened today at the conference that I'm at. A friend came up, and she said to me, you know, you said something at lunch yesterday that I woke up feeling angry about this morning, and I wonder if you'd be willing to talk about it. So I was really grateful that she was such a skillful NBC practitioner, because that supported me in being able to contact my capabilities. But the first thing out of my mouth was, so, comma, then for you. And so that's the rest of the formula. Not that NVC is about formulas, but they can be so helpful in supporting our consciousness. So for you, and then I follow that so for you with an acknowledgement of her experience. So for you, something happened at lunch yesterday, and you want to talk about it. So imagine that you're this other person. You're already feeling a little bit tender. You're feeling a little bit apprehensive about having the conversation. And you actually summon the courage to speak your truth. And the first thing you hear back from the other person is an acknowledgement of your own experience. Isn't that likely to help the connection? Maybe not always. Nothing works all the time. So by me actually acknowledging her experience, I'm guessing that it supported her in her own intention to connect. It certainly supported me, because I couldn't have done that without the intention to connect. And by actually reporting what I imagined was her experience, I was able to connect more deeply to it. So the pattern simply is, so, comma, for you, blank. And then you just fill in the other person's experience. Now, what I mean by the other person's experience, there can be several different layers of that experience. But you can acknowledge the observation. You can acknowledge their feeling. You could acknowledge their wish. Or you could even acknowledge their need. Notice that I put need last rather than first. So often in the NVC community, we go straight for the need. And sometimes, especially for folks who aren't part of the NVC community, that can be a little bit off-putting, because they don't have a need vocabulary. They might even have an allergy to the word need. I actually recommend for myself, and what I'm asking you to experiment with, is to acknowledge the other person's observations, feelings, or wishes first, and then wind to the need as you start knitting the connection with more dialogue. So the other person gets a little triggered. You listen. You take a moment, process it, and then you reflect the other person's experience. So for you, and then either acknowledge their experience in terms of their observation, feeling, wish, or their need. If you want the rest of the sentence, or how to express it in terms of a need, it'd be, so for you, blank is important. That way you never have to use the need word. So for you, blank is important. That word that you put into the blank doesn't have to be on anybody's needs list. It can be just what you sense is really important to the other person. It might even sound like a strategy. So for you, it's really important to talk about this right now. So for you, it's important that we slow things down. Okay, so let me see how many people we have on the call. By the way, what the practice looks like will be just having a dialogue with somebody. We're going to have groups of three. And in the group of three, there'll be two people will be having a little dialogue, and the third person will be a witness. And what your role is as witness is you're going to be looking for this behavior for you and just making a note of it and then noticing if you sense that it supports connection or not. Because maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe this is just something that works for me and it won't work for anybody else. I'm totally willing to learn that and eager to find out if that's true. So here's what you'll do. Two people will be in a dialogue and the third person observing. Then I will ring a bell and you'll rotate around. So there'll be one person who was not the observer will move into a dialogue with one other person and another person will become the observer and so on. So everybody will get a chance to both be observer and be in a dialogue. Then when you're dialoguing, I want you to talk about something a little bit controversial, but not so controversial that it's likely to send you into fight or flight. It's something that you feel is important. Maybe something about something that happened in your family recently where there was a conflict or something that happened at work. As you're talking with somebody, the other person will listen and then they'll practice the so for you. So I'm going to just pick somebody here to actually demonstrate it with you. Are you willing to practice this with me right now so we can demonstrate it for folks?
Yes.
Okay. Just talk about something important to you. And when there's a natural pause, I'll do the so for you and see if I get your experience. So just talk about something that's important to you.
I'm going in for a minor procedure on Monday. And I had made arrangements with my youngest son that he was going to go with me because if you go under even a, well, not local, but if you go to general anesthesia, you're not allowed to drive right afterward. Well, he called up and said he now can't do it. And I was upset with him. I know his personality, and he learned to overcommit himself from a master, me, and he was, you know, overcommitted. And I was hurt and irritated because I had to scramble around and get someone else to drive me home after this procedure.
Yeah. So for you, you had an experience of hurt and maybe disappointment and frustration because you were really needing some support. That was really important to you.
Yeah. And it was important to me that he was going to do it. It was having a family member that I could depend on. I turned right around and got a friend to do it, you know. It was something that I didn't quite understand about having him do it. That was important to me. That hasn't come clear yet.
Yeah, so for you, it was just important to have your son do it with you. Yeah. Thank you. We'll pause the demonstration here. It was pretty simple. I just listened. I waited for the natural pause in his speech. I reflected what I heard with the pattern, so for you. Dave demonstrated resonance. He said, yeah. And then he went deeper, and I stayed with him, and I went deeper. The only thing out of my mouth, the first thing every time that came out of my mouth was the word so. But that's the game. Thank you, Dave, for practicing with me. We're going to put you all into your groups now, so everybody will get a chance to practice. Invite you all now to just do a moment of self-connection. What was the exercise like for you? Just notice any feelings that are alive in your body. What's your body telling you right now? Noticing first. And giving yourself permission to be a human being, to have these feelings. Whether the feelings are, yay, this really, I learned something, or, ugh, that just wasn't clear for me at all. I didn't get anything out of that. Whatever the feeling is, or the thought, give yourself permission to have it. Then refine your intention to connect. Do you want to connect right now? If the answer is yes, then you just continually refine that intention. If no, then figure out what your next step is to take care of yourself. Noticing we have about 15 minutes left on the call, and there's two final things on the agenda. One is to collect any questions that came up as you did the practice. So if you have a question, and then we'll spend the last few minutes of the call just hearing from people what you learned on the call, what you're taking away.
Hi, Jim. I am a little bit confused because you mentioned not to get around to their need right away. And I felt like my default was to say, wow, you're feeling X because you're needing Y. And I'm wondering if you could add something to help me not go directly to the need, if that's an important step in this practice.
So for you, you noticed that you kind of reverted to a habit in a way. So for you, you're feeling this because you're needing that. And you're wondering if there's some advice I can give you about how to break that pattern.
Yeah, in this exercise to really create the connection, I'm noticing that the need is where the connection is. But I'm wondering if you're saying the first step is merely to acknowledge they're feeling X, or that maybe that they just need to step back and talk about something that's important to them.
Yeah, exactly. So what I notice in my own experience is that sometimes we have a tendency to go for depth really quickly, especially those of us who love connection and those of us who have been doing NBC for a long time. And that can be disorienting for some people. Although I agree with your assessment that the depth of connection comes from connecting to the need, there's also a quality of connection that can be enjoyed with observations, feelings, and requests or wishes as well. And so the idea is that as you develop your skills and your self-connection, especially self-connection skills, which is another word for intuition in a way, you learn just to trust what emerges from this intention to connect. And if it's about, so for you, you're feeling this because you're needing that, and it actually leads to connection, then don't fix it if it isn't broken. If you notice that people get annoyed, like, you know, don't give me that NBC crap or something like that, then you can back it off. You can back it off to just acknowledging the observation or the feeling. So if I'm talking to you and you say, don't give me that NBC crap after I give you a reflection of a feeling and a need, then I might say something like, so that was irritating for you, or so you're feeling upset, or that didn't work for you. Just to go back to the observation in order to start creating and knitting connection again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Great. Let's tie it up in a little bow and then hear from a few folks about what you're taking away from the call. One thing that I really want you to understand is that I'm not trying to impose right or wrong or good or bad or best or worst practice here. Just giving you something to play with to support yourself in creating a quality of connection that inspires compassionate giving and receiving. I've just noticed, especially in mediation work, that this pattern is remarkably effective, especially in the beginning phases of a mediation or in the beginning phases of an important phone call. And so before entering into a dialogue, first I want to make sure that I refine my own sense of connection and my intention to connect. Then I want to do whatever I can to open the dialogue from soft, warm, open space by connecting to my own needs and attending to them as best as possible, and then showing up with warmth and openness. And then we also covered a little bit about how to respond to our own defensiveness when we notice it coming up with some self-empathy. You can use the exact same pattern for yourself, by the way. So I like at the beginning of the call today, when I suddenly noticed that some people were on a different call than maybe they were expecting to be on, and I was kind of freaking out. I actually said to myself, "So Jim, for you, you're a little freaked out here. You're not so sure what to do." So I use the pattern as a self-empathy pattern as well. And it tends to have a relaxing effect on the nervous system. And then finally, we practice the pattern of how to use sewing to knit connection when the other person seems to be getting disconnected. And we talked about the opportunity to use the pattern with observations, feelings, wishes, requests, and needs. One of the takeaways I hope for you is that you take away from the call there's other ways to connect other than with just connecting at the level of needs, that observations can be quite connecting, having your feelings acknowledged or acknowledging another person's feelings can be quite connecting, wishes can be quite connecting. It also, what's cool for me is my very first mediation teacher about 20 years ago said, if you don't know what to do next, just acknowledge the last thing you heard. And so now I'm hoping you walk away from the call with a chance to practice this skill, to be able to acknowledge the last thing you heard. So for you, blank. And so if you'd like to check out from the call now with something that you're taking away from the call, especially any of your needs that have been met or a tidbit, a nugget that you'd like to just underline for all of us, and just love to hear about what you're taking away from the call.
This was really resonating with me because I think sometimes when we jump to the OSNR, people think we're diagnosing them. And this feels like making sure we're connected by acknowledging what the person said. I'm going to play with this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
What I'm taking away is a few little nuggets, the importance of intention, that importance of that intention to connect. Also, the value of slowing down and stepping back and allowing the pause, sort of as an observer, I just noticed that the importance of that. And also, for me personally, the importance of sort of understanding myself in sitting back. Like, I love listening and I love being there, but because I got myself into observer category and then got stimulated, I realized I have quite deep needs for both connection and self-expression. So it's something for me to work on with myself. So much appreciation, Jim. This has been immensely valuable. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciated this whole time together and the exercise you gave in the piece that really takes, like you say, a bite-sized chunk. So you got stimulated in the meeting and you need to slow this down and talk about it rather than jumping in and trying to solve the problem with NBC skills. So I really appreciate that. Just doing that little step back. And so I hear you want to talk about this a little bit more. You're stimulated. And I really like that. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
What I appreciate about what I learned today was the real component to what you were speaking to about the spiritual clarity or the spiritual piece to it, and particularly with my background. And that was really reassuring to hear that it all flows together, meaning this sense of self and my awareness of my spiritual life and the context in which I view NVC as a really spiritual practice. And yet there's a practicality to it. So I really appreciated that. And also I wanted to extend the gratitude for you're taking the time, even in the midst of what you enjoy or engaged in this weekend, for you to take the time to be present with us and gift us with your time and your insight. So once again, grateful and thankful.
Thank you.
I just want to appreciate the clarity that the way you presented this tonight was really helpful, and the simplicity and the beauty of this little "so" for you, because I've been wanting for a long time some way to express empathy that's natural and soft and could be used for anybody, even if they don't know NVC. And so I'm kind of excited about using this.
Try it out and let me know how it works. I appreciate it.
I'm just feeling really appreciative. I realized I've been kind of using something similar to this in my work with children. I find it, I have more ease when I'm trying to do this with children, and I'm just hoping and do have a strong desire and intention to build my skill with this tool when I'm relating with adults. And I really like the point you made about just being able to connect with the observation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think I agreed with everything that has been said thus far about the simplicity of this process and the applicability to almost any kind of triggering conversation. So thank you so much. I love the pause, the moment of self-reflection. Thank you.
Great to have you on the call. That covers everybody that's on the board at the moment, so I'll do a final checkout for myself. Before I do that, just invite us all into just noticing how you feel right now as the call begins to transition. To take what is yours from the call and fully own it for yourself. And to let go of anything that's not useful to you. And for me, I'm ending the call with a sense of deep gratitude that you showed up. I'm just so touched that you all care enough about communication and peace to take a couple hours out of your time to come here and learn together in community with each other. So I'm very touched by that. I'm really glad that there were these takeaways. They were exactly the takeaways that I was hoping to hear as I was planning the call. I would love to hear how it works in real life. So if you want to try it out and send an email to nvctrainer@gmail.com about your experience. And all experiences are welcome. You can let me know that you found out that this absolutely didn't work and you have a better idea you'd like me to consider. I'd love to hear that. I, too, am constantly learning. That's how I learned this idea. So I'm expecting that I can learn just as much from you as you've learned from me. So please keep the feedback loop open at nvctrainer@gmail.com. Until next time, we hope you find more and more creative ways to get your needs met every day. Aloha, everybody.